You're listening to the BeyondCast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality. Join us as we look at Jesus the Revolutionary in the Gospel of Luke.
Reading this book, because I got back into reading, other than the Bible, of course. That is good. But the book I started reading was Uprising by Erwin McManus, which is a really good book. If you haven't read the book, you should go and do that, because the book is it's called Uprising, A Revolution of the Soul. So it takes you on this journey of getting kind of this idea of wholeness in your life, being kind of complete in a sense. So, and it started, like, I was reading it and started talking about gratitude. So I kind of, as I was reading the scripture, that was kind of my focus. So that's why it's all about gratitude. But I had to slightly change it, that in the outline I had created, I kind of made it for myself, and kind of put it in context to living for God. But I realized that I needed to change it so that it wasn't just about living for God. It was, how could we apply this to living for others as well and still be whole in a sense? So that's why I'm kind of rambling right now, and I might go off my notes tonight. All right, but let's get right into it. So we're going to go to Luke 17. So if you got your Bibles, Luke 17. We're going to do verses 1 through 4 right now. All right. Is everybody ready? Okay. Hurry up. All right. So, verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into a sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' then forgive him." All right, well, this is kind of an interesting, these four scriptures are kind of interesting right here, because Jesus goes a little gangster. He goes a little gangster in this. Because, I mean, sin, like, he starts off, sin's bound to come. We're like, oh, yeah, we got that. Sin is coming. But he also goes, woe to a person. So be careful, people, if you start causing other people to sin. There it is. Sorry, my brain went... So he says, careful to this person who causes others to sin. He compares it to a very brutal death. He says, it would be better if mobsters came by, put your feet in cement, and then dropped you in a lake or a river. That would be better. You're like, oh, okay, Jesus, cool. But like, it's really interesting. And then he goes and contrasts it, like, very dramatically into the next two. And he's just like, yeah, if somebody sins, you need to rebuke them. And rebuke is an interesting word. I wanted to look up the definition. I was going to stick that, like, in it and talk about it. But I like, looked it up, and it was like, rebuke is pretty much a word you would use for criticism, to criticize somebody. But the definition said it's one of the most harshest words you could use for criticizing somebody. So instead of just being, you know, kind of, oh, you shouldn't do that, it's like, no, don't do that. Don't. Okay. But, and then, like, right after that, he's like, oh, and if he asks for forgiveness, if he repents, then you need to love him and repent. You know, you need to forgive them. So what I got out of this is, it's bad to sin, but it's worse to cause others to sin. Does everybody got that? Because it's kind of obvious, right? Yeah, youth. But I think also what he's talking about here, what we kind of miss here, and he says it a little bit, but it's just kind of like really fast. Let's see if I can. It's right. If your brother sins, rebuke him. So what I think he's talking about here is, it's our responsibility as friends to confront those that are causing others to sin, or even to confront those that are causing sin or sinning themselves. I mean, like, I like having friends. I like having a lot of friends because I want to be popular. But friendship isn't just loving people. I mean, well, in a sense, it's all about loving people. But when you truly love somebody, you don't want to see them hurt themselves or, you know, cause others to hurt and thus fall themselves. So if you truly love somebody, if you're truly a friend to somebody, then you will be able to, so that's why you will be able to confront that person. So that's why I say it's a responsibility. Like, that's what Jesus is talking about. He's not going, oh, you know, love everybody, and if you can, if they do something wrong, confront them, maybe, please. He's like, no, it's our responsibility, it's our duty as friends to do that. So like another idea I just got out of that is, don't just think that being tolerant with your friends is going to help them. I mean, tolerance is a good thing, but being tolerant to the point where they hurt themselves is not. Like, letting your friends go out and drink, letting your friends go out and do drugs or do whatever is not helping them. It's, you know, if your friend, like, you, like, Jason has a friend, and I'm going to use him just as an example, but that who decided to be gay. And you know what, Jason, I'm proud of you.
Proud.
Jason confronted him about it, but was still his friend. I mean,
hello? Yes?
Oh, yeah, it never is. Alright. But now I'm completely... Right, tolerance. 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 Jason, yeah. Jason didn't just like say, okay, I'll be your friend and I'm cool with whatever. Jason was like, hey, you know what, I don't agree with this lifestyle you're leading, but I'm still gonna love you. See, that is what Jesus is getting at here. You need to confront those that need confronting, and you need to forgive those that need forgiving. So, I mean, like, true friends don't just forgive and don't just, you know, it's not just like, if you're a friend with somebody, you don't just go along and then when they hurt you, you're like, oh, no, I'm going this way. You see you later, you're not my friend anymore. They, you know, a friend will, you know, if I get hurt by somebody and they're my friend, I would hope that I would confront them about it, but that I would also forgive them. I wouldn't just be like, hey, this was really me, now I'm going to be mad and bitter about this. I would hope that I would confront them and say, hey, you hurt me, but I forgive you, and I'm going to let it go, but you need to realize that you hurt me, and this might cause you a problem. So, remember those two things. Confront those that need confronting. Forgive those that need forgiving. And, which comes to my next point, don't just forgive. Forgive with gratitude. Be thankful that this person has come to you and has in sorrow and is upset that they have hurt you, that they have caused themselves to sin, caused, you know, they have done something wrong. Be thankful that they're churning to go on the right path again. Just be thankful for that. So coming down to that with gratitude, never mind, I'm not going to go there yet. All right. Sorry. I'm trying to get like all the words out, and it's kind of hard, and hopefully I'll get better as time goes on. But I'm really trying to speak from the heart right now, and it's tough because my brain doesn't work very well. Especially when Chris is tired. All right, so let's just go on to Luke 17, 5 through 10. So if you got your Bibles, get ready again. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had," and then so here he's talking about like faith and kind of, you know, having a small amount of faith and being able to do a lot of things with that. And then in verse 7, he kind of switches ideas, but they're both, before I go on, they're both related. So he goes on, and then just verse 7. So suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" So, in this passage, Jesus, that's the dude, is talking about faith and duty here. And faith and duty, if you haven't realized, are related. I mean, we don't just get to go along in life and go, "Oh, I'm going to love Jesus, but I'm going to choose to have faith in him." We don't just go, "Oh, I get to choose to have faith in him, but I don't want to do my duty, and I don't need a duty. I don't have any responsibility. I just have faith right now, so I'm all good. I'm all good." If we choose faith, I think I might have said this, but yes, this is kind of lower down, so I might be skipping around. But there's one of the points is, when we choose faith, if you choose faith, you choose duty as well. So just keep that in mind. But what God's talking about as far as faith goes is, faith is better than none. So even a small amount of faith is still better than no amount of faith. So when you get to the point where you're like, "Oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. I wish I could do this. If only I had more faith. If only I had more of this." What Jesus is trying to say here is, you don't need more of this, more of this, more of this to do this. All you have to do is try. You just have to try. So that's not a point, but you could write that down. That was good. That one was a good one. All right. Which actually brings me to my next point. God will use us whether our faith is large or small, okay? I mean, when we accept God into our life, I mean, hopefully we'd have a lot of faith starting off. But even if we have a small faith, God isn't going to go like, "Oh, you know what? This is what we'll do. I'm going to give you 20 years. Increase your faith to this much, and then you can start doing things for me." No, he's like, "All right, so you have faith in me, so this is what I want you to do." Like that. That was for the podcast. So he will use our faith, whether it's large or small. So that's what he's talking about when he's saying, you can take this huge mulberry tree, and you could uproot it by just saying, "Hey, get uprooted," and then say, and you could plant it in the sea by saying, "Hey, plant yourself in the sea." A tree. It's in the Bible. It's actually what I'm talking about. No. All right, but, don't just get discouraged by having small faith. Because if you truly have a whole faith, no matter how small it is, it will increase. All right. So that brings me to my next point. Even small faith can do great things with gratitude. You see how I'm kind of, gratitude is the key thing here? Yeah. So don't just be grateful that, don't just live with faith. Be grateful for faith. Be grateful that you have somebody to believe in. Even no matter how small you believe in, have somebody you can believe in who isn't going to let you down, who's going to, you know, lift you up, who will do great things for you, and hopefully you will be able to do great things for him, in a sense. But moving on to duty, so like I said, when we choose faith, we also choose duty as well. I love you, Jordan. And what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about duty is he's saying don't just be doing something for reward. Don't expect to go, all right, you know, don't expect to go to class and do all a bunch of homework and then the teacher would be like, oh, you're so great, you did homework. Oh, I praise you. I praise you. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to give you more homework because, I'm sorry to say it, but while you're in school, that's kind of your duty to learn, to kind of learn skills for the real world. I don't like using that, like, in school, like, you need to learn skills for the real world because, you know, school's not the real world. I mean, come on. That's right. But in a sense, You would learn skills to, yeah, I don't know. All right. Push it out. Sorry, I'm very like, I was going to use very tangential. I like to go on tangents, so. I'm doing it increasingly as the night goes on. So, powering through. I don't know if I said this right, but my next point is don't wait for reward. Just be grateful for your duty. When you're grateful for what you're doing, that'll be able to give you a passion, and that in itself will be your reward. I mean, God might increase and bless you with other things, but if you do your duty and you're grateful for it, that should be your reward. That you should be able to be passionately, you know, grateful, and you should see the reward come out of that. Hopefully. Sometime, eventually. Alright. Moving on to verses 10 through 19. Get ready again, if you got your Bible. Ready? And now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. I said it right. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Ooh, I know. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Raise and go. Your faith has made you well." All right, can I just... The last verse is really interesting, but I think the version I had, just kind of got it wrong in the last little part. Instead of it being "has made you well," it should be more like "has saved you." I mean, because they're, like, if you think about it, they're all healed. They've all been made well now. But his gratitude is what saved him. He's the only one out of all of those 10 who's been saved because of his gratitude. Because gratitude gives us a real faith. And by real faith, I don't mean like if you're not grateful, then you don't have real faith. But what I mean is it's a whole faith, okay? It's a faith that doesn't just go, oh, I believe in God, but I don't know if I have what it takes to do stuff. Real, like, whole faith allows us to not only start loving God, but to turn it around and start loving others as well. Real faith will give us passion to start loving God and loving others. So that's why that's kind of like the whole idea. And if, you know what, I kind of went everywhere tonight. But if there was one thing you could get out of this, it's gratitude will allow us to live a life where we can be passionate about what we're doing. Gratitude will allow us to love God, love ourselves, and love others in a whole kind of way. So, remember that. But like I was saying, gratitude isn't just like a feeling or emotion. Gratitude is an action. You know what? Like, being thankful is an emotion. Like, I'm thankful that I get to speak tonight. That is an emotion. But I'm grateful that I'm doing it right now. I'm grateful that I get to be standing up right now and talking to you. Gratitude allows us not only to be thankful for what we have to do or what we have to overcome, but it allows us to do that, to allows us to overcome. Because gratitude is the base for a lot of other things, such as love. I don't know any other way to say it, and I'm not going to try, because I could just sit here for like 5 minutes going, gratitude, you know, but gratitude, the thing about gratitude is, so just going along with that action, living by gratitude can cause us to change for the better. So living by gratitude causes change for the better. So when we're thankful, like that one guy, the reason he was saved is because he came back and he was thankful that his sin, that his disease was wiped away. You know, those other guys, they may stay healthy for the rest of their life, but if you think about it, they're not grateful. Like, I mean, think about like lung cancer and getting it through smoking. If you get lung cancer because you smoke and then you get that cancer removed and you're completely fine, If you're not thankful for that, you could just slip right back into smoking again. But if you think about it, I mean, if I had cancer of the lung because I was smoking and I was healed, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be smoking anymore. I would be, if I was grateful for being healed, I'm not going to be like, all right, well, now I have a second chance in life. And then with that second chance, let's see, I could do anything. Smoking. That's what I want to dedicate my life to. Smoking. And really, that's what my whole message about tonight is, the dangers of smoking. Don't do it. No. No, not really. It's about gratitude. See, I was... Oh. I've been deceived. Look. Living by gratitude. There we go. All right. So just like with gratitude is the base that allows us to just live in the moment, to enjoy the moment. I mean, if you think about it, if we're not grateful for what we're doing right now, we're really not going to be enjoying the moment. I mean, I could be like, oh, yeah, this is really cool that I get to speak, but you guys, you're just too, you're not a good audience. I'm not thankful for this. I'm not great. No, you guys are good. Yes, you guys are, yes, my head hurts. So with gratitude, we are able to be saved. So when we sin and we come to God, we can, if we're grateful that for repentance, if we're grateful for what Jesus did on the cross, then that should help us overcome our sin. That should help us overcome our addiction. Right. So that's pretty much what I had to talk about. We're going to get into discussion groups in just a second. I have a little bit more to say. But I think I did pretty well this time. Let's see. Yeah, I only went like 20 minutes. I know, I wasn't very tangential. I was not very gentle with what I was trying to say. All right. But I want to leave you with this. As I was reading that book that I talked about way in the beginning, it was only like 20 minutes ago, so I hope you remembered. That book, Uprising, by Erwin McManus. He's a cool dude. So if you want to read a book that is helpful, you can read that book. It's good. But I was reading it this week, and I was reading it yesterday. I found he said this, and it just kind of struck me as this is what I was trying to get at. If you want to be grateful, if you want to, you know what, if, like, here's the thing, like, this is going to sound really weird because I haven't talked about it, but, like, if you want to love, if you want to be love and love, then the starting point is being grateful. And here's the idea that he said, to be loved, what we have to do to get to that point is we have to give it away to gain. You know what, if you're looking for love, if you're looking for, you know, gratitude, you don't just start by, and that's why, like, gratitude ties into this, like, ties into love, is if you're grateful, then you can start giving away your love to others. And, I mean, keep it in perspective as well. Love, don't look for love coming from your boyfriend. Well, yeah, Mikey, no boyfriend. No. No, but, like, what I'm saying is don't look for love to come from the world. I mean, love that will actually fill you up, that will make you whole. It's not gonna come from the world. And, I mean, I'm not saying that all love from the world is wrong and won't make you, like, because that marriage is a great thing. I wish I was married later, eventually, not now, but not in 4 weeks, but I wish I had somebody that I could see myself marrying. Or, yes. But what I'm trying to get at here is if you realize that love that can fill you up and make you overflowing comes from God, and you seek that, you try and get that kind of love from God, then you will be able to share your love with others and get in return love from others. And even if it's the smallest amount of love from others, you won't have to feel, that won't make you feel like what you're doing is, you're not being loved, because you have somebody who loves you a lot more than the world does.
Jesus.
And God. So, this is the quote from the book that I'm going to end it with this, and then we'll go into discussion groups. And for discussion groups, I only got two questions. It ties in with the title about gratitude. And so, like I was saying before, with our worship time, where we wrote about what we were grateful for, that will be a good time to talk about it, because that's actually what we're going to be talking about. But I want to leave you with this quote. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And now we're going to pray. All right. Dear Jesus, dear baby Jesus, 8 pounds, no. Lord, thank you that we just get the opportunity today to come together in community and just share in your word, Lord, share in your love, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray right now for the people who came here, Lord, that even though I don't quite understand what I said, they could understand what I said, Lord. Because it's not my words, Lord. It's your words, Lord. So I just pray that we're able to understand, Lord, and that we're able to get this concept of gratitude, Lord, and we're able to apply it to our lives so that, you know, we can go to school, we can go to work, we can go to wherever, and just be grateful for the people in our lives, you know, our friends, our enemies. Just be grateful that we get the opportunity to just love on them, to just be there for them, Lord, and just to be grateful for them, Lord, and to share you, to share the word with them, Lord. So I just pray for all that, and I pray that we also have fun in whatever we do this week. And in your name, baby Jesus, amen.
Break up.